So you're trying to make up some time today.
Yeah, we are going for 60 miles today.
Is that partially because yesterday you were stymied by wind?
Yeah, that's part of the reason. And we also have our last food pickup in Helena, Mississippi, and a couple packages to pick up and also a place to stay. So we're going to try and go 60 miles to get to Helena.
Wow. So tell me about yesterday's experience.
So 2 nights ago was when the wind was really high. We woke up around 1:30 or 2 in the morning to some really high winds. And a few people got outside and saw that the rain fly had ripped from the broken pole. So they patched it up, and we moved a canoe to the upwind side of the three tents and used that as a wind blocker. And sand was hitting us in the faces, and the wind was really cold. So we spent some time making sure everything was tied down.
So all of the tents were nearly flying away that night?
Yeah, we only had the sleeping tents out because we were in this vast sandbar away from any people. And so all of our gear was underneath a tarp for rain protection. But yeah, no one could leave. We couldn't have any tent empty because they would have blown away, I think.
Wow. Incredible.
And then during the day, we had really high winds and a lot of white caps on the water. So we decided to wait. And around 1:30, we launched our canoes. We decided we would give it a go, and the wind had died down just a little bit. But it was too precarious out on the water, especially with our boat where we have three people, which is the heaviest boat. It was hard for them to get past the break waves right on shore and into the current. So we pulled back on the same sandbar, maybe about half a mile or three quarters of a mile downwind and downstream, and camped pretty much in the same place the second night, so last night.
So the winds are more in your favor today, or still pretty blustery?
It's really calm today. There's almost no wind and clear skies.
Oh, great. That's good.
Yep.
So you've said that you've had to do a little more maneuvering and being more cautious around barges, and the current is changing, huh?
Yeah. One day last week, we always have our marine radio on, which allows us to communicate with the barge captain. And we needed to cross the barge channel. We were all on board, all five canoes, to cross together. And the marine radio was telling us, the barge captain that was coming up upstream towards us said on the radio, "I see 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's canoes all over the damn place." And so we knew that we needed to get out of their way because we are more maneuverable than the big, heavy barges. So we shimmied over outside of the barge channel and learned a lesson that we need to be even more preventative and stay clear out of their way at all times. And so then after that, we started using walkie-talkies. We have three of them. So now we have a lead boat and a sweep boat. And then a third boat has another walkie-talkie so we can all communicate with each other amongst our five boats.
So that means that you're in the barge channel, but you're watching ahead and moving over much, much sooner if the traffic starts building up?
Yeah. So, for example, right now I'm looking in front of us and we have two barges. One's going upstream, one's going downstream. And we frequently look over our shoulders so that we're aware of barges coming from behind us. But for the most part, we stay out of the barge channel just to be totally safe. And the current is still really fast outside of the buoys, which mark the barge channel. But there are times where we need to cross the channel, and so we will all be on the same page when we're about to do that.
So you set a high goal for mileage today. You set out extra early?
We set out at the same time we have been at St. Louis, which is wake up at 4:30 and get on the water by 6:15, which is when the sun has risen high enough for it to be lit enough for us to paddle. We've just opted out of night paddling or paddling in the dark because of the heavy barge traffic. Not worth it.
You encountered a Delta Mariner boat?
Yeah. We passed a boat that was going upstream, and it was about the size of the cruise ships that we see with passengers going up and down. But there were no windows on this boat, no balconies, and There was also a submarine on the side of it, and it said Delta Mariner. And we later looked it up on the internet and learned that the Delta Mariner is a ship that was created for the only purpose is to transport rockets or rocket parts that are used to, for example, send a satellite out into outer space. And they, we know that Boeing has a manufacturing plant somewhere in Tennessee on the Tennessee River. And so this ocean boat, the Delta Mariner, will travel up through inland waterways, sometimes the Mississippi, sometimes other rivers, to the manufacturing plant and take these rocket ships back to, we imagine, Cape Canaveral for them to be sent out into space. So that was really neat to see that and learn what that boat is.
Now, how was Memphis, and when did you hit that? You're well beyond Memphis now. As you said, you're getting close to Mississippi.
We are. So the two nights that we stayed at that windy sandbar were only about 10 or 11 miles south of downtown Memphis. And we arrived in Memphis on Sunday afternoon, and we pulled up to the marina where some family friends of one of the paddlers had arranged for our boat and our gear to be watched over. And we were picked up by he used to be the president of an independent school called St. George's on the east side of the city. And now he does a lot of work with admissions and the outdoor program that they have. And another man, Bill, who works closely with this school's unique outdoor program, met up with us. And a few students came to the old president. His name is Rick. His house is where we stayed. And so a few students came over to the house, and we had barbecue from a restaurant called Rendezvous that was donated to our group. And we got to learn about these students' involvement in the outdoors in the Southeast through their school. And they had a lot of questions for us about what we're learning about the Mississippi River and what kinds of environmental stewardship a person is able to do after experiencing a trip in the outdoors or in the wilderness. And then the following morning, we drove to the St. George's Independent School and spoke with two classrooms. One was a citizenship class, and another was an environmental science class, and we presented about Paddle Forward and answered a bunch of questions from the students.
So what age group was that, Martha?
They were high school students. I think all juniors and seniors, I believe.
So what kind of experience have they had on the Mississippi, or have they?
One boy said that he a lot of them have houses, family houses, or spend vacations along the river. And a few of them are kayakers, so recreational use was a common use of the river. And another boy said that he has his pilot license and will turn off his navigational system in the plane when he flies over the river, and he'll just follow the river north and south.
Do you feel as though you're getting at people who may not be as connected or have the kind of connection that you have to the river, who live right next to it or rely on it?
Something that I've realized on this trip is, well, first of all, before I headed out on this expedition, when someone said Mississippi River, I pretty much only thought of a big, long, dirty river. And now my perception of the river has completely changed and way more complex and multifaceted. And something that I really gained from this trip is how accessible the river is and how it's not as scary or as dirty as I think a lot of people perceive it to be. And so I think something that I hope that people gain from this trip is that it is accessible, whether you want to just paddle a section of it or paddle the whole river. I'm not saying that it's a cakewalk, but it's definitely a water trail that I think can be explored more and more by students and adults and all types of people and organizations.
Now, I know that the group Paddle Forward hopes to have a ripple effect when the documentary is produced and released. In your experiences thus far, can you imagine any experience or spot on the river that you think will really stand out as a strong message about the river?
That's a great question. One pivotal point for me was when we visited the museum in Alton, Illinois, just north of St. Louis, where the Army Corps of Engineers has an educational museum about the river, and they're developing a water trail in that area along on the river. And I think that there's a, when people think of the Army Corps of Engineers, they think of more negative things like dredging or building dams. And obviously there's a lot of reasons for those things to happen, but the Army Corps of Engineers is also doing a lot of work on the Mississippi and in other parts of the country to increase recreational use of these natural resources and also educate student groups in schools about the natural resources that are in their backyard. So for me to learn about what other sides of the Army Corps of Engineers there is was eye-opening for me, and I think our group as a whole. And I guess in terms of the documentary, we're hoping that it showcases our adventure and also the stories of people that we met along our way, so that not only can people watch and learn what we experienced, but they can get a glimpse of all of the people that we've met and learn from their experiences as well.
Last week we talked about spending time with Big Muddy Mike, one of the people who really are stewarding the river. Have you had an exceptional encounter since then?
We have been paddling through pretty undeveloped areas. We haven't met too many people, but someone who we are in touch with, his name is John Rusty, and he is a dear friend of Big Muddy Mike. And he's currently out on the water right now. We're hoping to meet up with him somewhere on the river with his group of two Voyager canoes, those long canoes that carry around 10 or 12 people. And he is where we have our last food drop sent to. So if we don't see him on the river on the way south, we will plan to stay with him as we drive north back home.
What does the river look like these days, and is there wildlife fluttering or swimming about?
We saw a bald eagle this morning. I keep thinking every time I see a bald eagle, it might be the last. They keep creeping up in the far south, and the river is pretty wide. I still see the same barge that I saw in the early part of this conversation, and there's trees and a lot of sand and mud along the shoreline. I see zero development, no houses, no industrial plants, just trees and sand. And it's really calm, clear skies, pretty cold out, probably in the 40s, I'd say. Wouldn't you say, Sarah?
Yeah, I think around 45.
Yeah, around the 45 degrees. But the sun feels good.
I bet it does. So I have to ask my usual question. The arrival is still, you're thinking...
Yeah, our goal is on Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and then we'll all spend Wednesday shipping our canoes back and cleaning gear and organizing it for the ride home. So I think we'll be able to make it on Tuesday, no problem.
Amazing.
Yep.
So you'll be there for a Cajun Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Well, I can't. We just have a couple conversations. Wow, so next week could be it. I mean, in terms of our Wednesday date.
This might be our penultimate one, unless you want to talk right before Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, got to do that.
Okay.
So I hope I didn't keep you off course on making that 60-plus miles today.
Sorry, what did you say?
I said I hope I don't keep you from achieving that 60-plus mile goal today.
Oh, no, we're paddling just as we would without the phone on, so don't worry.
Great. Well, have a glorious day, and we'll talk next week.
Okay, sounds good.